7 says, "The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him." We're certainly thankful for all the fathers that decided to be with us today. Branson, would you open us in the word of this?
Thank you. Stand once again. We'll sing hymn number 20. When I see the blood, I will. Today is a special day. It's Father's Day, and we do appreciate dads taking time to come be with us. I'd like to ask all the fathers, if you wouldn't mind, come to the front. We have a small gift we'd like to give you and acknowledge you at this time.
the fight, the battle won. Alleluia. Death in vain forbids him rise. Alleluia. Christ has opened paradise. Alleluia.
My name is Bailey Casper, as I said in Sunday school, and I was asked to give a short testimony. And I was thinking last night about what to give a testimony about, and you kind of have like some decisions, like whether you're going to do about Heartland or like your salvation testimony. And I kind of came to this point in my life, kind of as a teenager, where I just thought that would be good to kind of speak about and just how the Lord really moved in my life and how it like basically just flipped at that time in my life. And so I made a profession of faith when I was about 7 years old. And then at age 13, I got saved and realized that I wasn't saved at seven. But just as I got saved, the devil really began to work in my life because I'm a teenager. So that's like the perfect time for the devil to just come and really bring you down and especially start, you know, disobeying your parents, disrespecting them. And that's what I started doing. And so around 14, I wasn't hanging out with like the best of friends or anything. My friend went to, or my best friend went to public school, which is not wrong, but it was wrong that I was wanting to rebel against my parents and just want to do everything that she did and just be involved in the public school, I guess. And it just caused me to want to have my own plans and not really think about what God wanted for me. And so as I continued to just live my life, I was being disrespectful. You know, I had those days where I would just go into my room and listen to music that I wasn't supposed to listen to and, you know, kind of have little fights with my mom about what I wanted to wear and how I just felt that they were really strict and I didn't really want them to be that strict. And it just really, so I went to camp and surrendered my life to the Lord. And it took about 2 years for that to happen, though, and for the Lord to really get a hold of my heart and to realize that I was trying to live with my own desires and living with what I wanted in life and really not seeking His will or His desires. And so I surrendered my life to Him, and it just completely flipped my life around, and I realized that, I guess, being a Christian isn't just being saved, you know, it's really serving Him and living for Him and wanting to live for Him and wanting to get to know who He is. And so I just want to kind of make mention, like, if you're anybody here, adults, teenagers, just even though you may be, like, because I know for me, I was a great person on the outside. To everybody around me, I was this good, godly Christian girl who grew up in a good Christian home, but that's not who I was on the inside, and that's not who I wanted to be. And so it really took the Lord, like, chasing me for me to realize that it matters what God sees. And so whether you're an adult or a teenager, just really think about how God sees you and what your appearance looks like to God, because that it really matters, you know. In the end, obviously, what God sees is so much more important than what other people see. And you can fake it out, you know, for almost your whole life until you get really tired of it. And, I mean, it didn't take long for me to get tired of it. But I'm just glad that I did listen to the Lord and I surrendered to Him, because I'm not really sure where I'd be right now. So thank you for letting me share that with you.
He was led to Golgotha, on the outskirts of town, then nailed to a rugged cross as the mockers gathered round. The skies spoke like thunder. When he finally bowed his head, he who had given life now hung there dead. Then his mother and some friends came to carry him away. They were trying to speak through a broken heart what only tears could say. The sun said, cast no shadow on the world's darkest day. And with one last look, they laid him in the grave. But I talked to him today, and my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph through the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary he died, but right now he's alive, I know, because I talked to him today. Mary Magdalene came breathless to the place where Peter lay. He was searching through his broken heart, trying to find the faith to pray. But as he heard her joyful story, his sorrow could not stay. And his hope sprang out through the words he heard her say. She said, I talked to him today, and my cares all fell away. He made me feel like life had just begun. He said all of my trials can be turned into triumph through the victory that he's already won. And I talked to him today, and the comfort that he gave filled me with desire to tell the world that on Calvary he died, but right now he's alive, I know, because I talked to him today. Yes, on Calvary he died, but right now he is alive.
He's alive.
I tell you, I thought the first song was really great, all the hallelujahs, and I thought Christmas, and I thought, wouldn't it be great if we'd walk out and there'd be like 3 feet of snow outside, and it wouldn't be 100 degrees today, huh? Am I getting some of you won over to snow? Yeah, all right. But I really enjoyed the last song. What a blessing. What a blessing. It's good to know we can talk to the Lord about our problems, that he cares, that he loves us, that he hears and answers our prayers. Praise the Lord. So today I've asked Brother Chuck Patterson to preach for us. Brother Patterson, if you'd come. I normally don't preach the guys who come with traveling groups because I don't know them. But I actually met this guy when he was a young man. And we met back in 99 when Heartland was kind of in its infancy and just getting ready to get started. And so I've known him a while. I met his dad, actually, as I served on the board of directors down at the college there. His dad served also. And thankful for that. As I visited with his dad, I found out that he has a tie, in a way, to our church. Okay, so Brother Patterson's dad went to the church at Ark City, Kansas, when Brother Moeller was the pastor there. and he got saved under Brother Mueller's ministry. And so it's always created a bond between the Pattersons and myself. And I know with the Crotts, they've supported Brother and Sister Crotts as they've gone to serve the Lord in Papua New Guinea. And so it's just kind of cool to have that tie. And so Brother Patterson and his wife have served on the field of Venezuela and then on the field of Oklahoma. That's a very needful field, amen, all that red dirt. I just still don't comprehend red dirt. But anyhow, his latest place of stay was in Chickasha before he moved over to be a part of the school. Introduce your wife and your son to us, if you don't mind, and preach.
Good to see you. Glad that you're here. I saw the theme up here, and so I looked the verse up. And if you weren't aware, the first part of that verse is, even the number of hairs on your head are numbered. And then it says, fear not, right after that. And then as I was looking through this little book, I looked, came across like two or three pages as I was standing up here. And day 58 says, the mirror cannot change your reflection. I mean, okay. But it says, be ye doers of the word. Okay, I can do that part, okay? I can't change the hair portion, but I can truly take the word of God to heart. It's good to be with you this morning. My wife, Donna, we were married back in 1994. She's sitting right over here and traveling with us. And she is the solid rock of the group to help us make sure to stay as we're supposed to be. Then my son, Caleb, he just graduated from high school. And he's traveling with us also. And I will say this, if Caleb doesn't look directly at you, he does have a cerebral palsy. And so he, if he doesn't say words that you can necessarily understand, well, that's just part of it. But we try to teach him to look people in the eyes and things like that. But he does great and has a great attitude and traveling along. And I think he's enjoying traveling with four young ladies in the vehicle across the United States also. So. They keep trying to get him to sing, but I don't know that he's going to do that. But good to be with you. I hope that you've enjoyed thus far the Heartland Singing Group. And I hope you came this morning to hear from God, to hear God's Word. I hope that that has happened already through the songs, but we're going to take an opportunity to look into God's Word and let Him speak to our hearts. So if you have a Bible with you, would you stand with me as we read a passage of Scripture? We're going to go to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter number 5. Luke number 5. I love the Gospel of Luke. It's so practical. It's how Jesus deals with individuals, where they're at, whatever their education level is, or their wealth level, or their personality. And he gets very personal throughout this Gospel. Maybe a familiar passage to some. We're going to read starting in verse number 1. Follow along if you would, and then we'll have a word of prayer and you can be seated. It says verse number 1, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, another name for the Sea of Galilee. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, pause with me here just a moment. This is Peter's response, Simon's response back to Jesus Christ. And it's almost like this first little phrase has a little attitude attached to it. Okay, he says, stick with me here. Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. You can almost see the attitude in those first two phrases, okay? And then there's a shift. And it says, nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. I don't know that he was booming his chest and saying, nevertheless, I'll be the hero. I'll be the faith, use faith and step forward. And nevertheless, I'll let down the net. Continue on, verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then you can be seated. God, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word and how you can use it. And that's our greatest desire right now. And I know that is your desire and your heart is that we would give attention to you and let you speak to us personally. I pray that we won't be as concerned about what you're saying to the person beside us or to somebody else, or wishing that somebody that we knew would have been here and could have heard it, but that we would give attention to how you want to deal with us individually. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the fathers that are present and the families that are represented here. I pray that you would truly do a work in our hearts and you'd be honored in it. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Be seated. Thank you so much. Words can make a tremendous difference in what has taken place, can they not? It can change a situation. Have you ever had somebody come to you and you were in a good mood and they were just in a bum mood? And they were griping, they were complaining, and it kind of changed your attitude a little bit. It kind of brought you down some. Imagine with me just a moment, if you've ever had maybe something like this happen, your wife comes to you and she says something like this, "How do I look?" You know, what she's put on, what she's wearing for the day. And she says, "How do I look?" And here's your response. You respond, "Good today." Now, wait a minute. You only included one more word besides good, right? Did it change the impact? What might her response be? "What do you mean? How did I look last Sunday? How did I look yesterday?" I mean, just that one inclusion of an extra word changed that compliment that you were attempting to give. That can happen, and we're all familiar with that. We're familiar with that in personal relationships and families and friendships. And here in this passage of Scripture, we do have a setting very similar to that, where there is an emphasis that is very brief that changes the context of the passage, changes the direction of the passage. Now, stick with me here just a little bit as we go through this. I do move around. I hope that's okay when I'm preaching. Hopefully the camera will be able to stick there as I kind of go forward here. But think about what you use. Plus, I don't want to hide behind the pulpit, right? Okay, as I'm a little short. What inspires you? What causes you to want to go after something? What causes you to get up this morning and decide to come to church? Yeah. You know, that's what I always do. Well, that's not really a good reason. It's good to have tradition and it's good to have a habit, but there should be a desire that maybe there's a few people that showed up today and said, "I hope God speaks to my heart today. I hope that the messages of song are directed right at me." And it's like the Lord is like speaking to me through those songs and speaking to me through that message. Well, there are various things that can inspire us. Let me ask, don't make this more complicated than it is. What do cooks do? Cook. Not too complicated, right? Okay, what do bakers do? Bake. Okay, good. What do secretaries do? Secretary. Yeah, okay, good. Okay, we're not talking about bakers or cooks or secretaries or manufacturers or mechanics. This passage of Scripture is about a fishing setting. Okay? So help me here. What do if cooks cook and bakers bake and secretaries secretary, then what do fishermen do? Well, this passage isn't about them fishing. They aren't fishing. We would say fishermen do what? They fish. But here it's these fishermen, professional fishermen. They weren't fishing. To fish, you have to, help me out here, what do you have to do if you fish? Catch fish, okay? And up until the Lord got involved, there was none of that happening. These fishermen were casting, right? That's all they were doing. How many of you like to fish? Any guys here that like to fish? Okay. I like to fish when the fish are like jumping on the hook. Okay? That sitting there patient, you know, put the fishing pole between your toes and relax. I'm like, oh, come on. Got to do something else maybe, all right? I'm not really that kind of a person. But when you're catching fish, man, that is awesome. That is fantastic. That's what every fisherman lives for. They don't live for some casting. Okay, back in this time, they used nets. They didn't, you know, put the little hook out in the water. They used these nets. They did not need a better workout. Okay, they didn't need to flex their muscles and see how many times they could cast. But the entire night, what had they been doing? They had been casting and casting and casting and casting and casting, attempting to catch. After the night was over, they came in and, I mean, goodness, have you ever caught a perch? Well, you know, a perch, for those of you who aren't familiar with fishing, a perch is not a bass. A perch isn't even as good as a catfish, okay? A perch is much better, though, than the minnows that you went with, okay? So even if you catch a little perch or a little sunfish or something like that, at least it's something. But all they came back with were broken nets. Caught on sticks, caught on rocks, caught on whatever. Now they were going to have to sit there and mend their nets and prepare for the next day. And they had zero opportunity to go and buy and pay for the things for their family. To take care of the things that they needed. This was how they made a living. And they were big failures is how they would have felt after that night. So what we have is the setting. That's where they're at this point. And we have Jesus coming by. So Jesus was standing there. He's next to Lake Gennesaret. And the Sea of Galilee, it's not just a little pond somewhere off to the side. It's not just a little lake there. When storms arose on the Sea of Galilee, they were severe storms. Major storms. Extremely high waves. Ships could be overturned very easily. And we have other accounts of that in Scripture. And so they're out on this boat. Stick with me here. It wasn't a little canoe. It wasn't a little rowboat. This was a boat. This was a boat. Might call it a ship that they were going out in because they were going to fish. They were going to bring in the fish and that was their goal, going to make a living with it. They had the nets that they were going to mend. And Jesus comes up near the lake and sees that they've come in. They're after toiling all night. They're there during the day. And he says, basically, can I use your boat? Can I use your ship? A large group of people were gathered together. They were fairly close to him. So he thought, hey, if I get in the ship, I push out a little bit in the water. Most people aren't going to wade out into the water. They're going to stand there on the shore. And I'll sit down and be able to use it somewhat like a platform to be able to proclaim what he was teaching. Now, Simon owned the ships, or that ship, and the others owned some other ships that were there. And he was asked by Jesus if that could take place. That he was just going to push out just a little bit, just out into that little shallow water right there. And Jesus was going to sit down in the boat. Now, stick with me in this idea. Okay? We have Jesus going out in the boat after Simon had given permission. Why did Simon give permission for Jesus to do that? Because it wasn't going to take a whole lot for him to do that, right? Now, remember, Simon's tired. He's worn out. He's frustrated. He hasn't caught anything. He can't make a living out of what took place that night before. And he's tired. And Jesus says, let's put the boat out again into the water. But we're just going to be on the edge there. And Simon, I imagine, now, this is reading between the lines just a little bit. Could he not continue to mend the net while Jesus was talking? Yeah, that's what his plan was. After he mended the net, he planned probably to go home and get some rest. He could continue to do that. He could even maybe sit there and as Jesus was speaking, he could listen to him a little bit and possibly even doze off. Okay, honesty, you're in church. Anybody ever done that in church? You ever listen to the teaching and the preaching and you just kind of, just a little bit doze off, all right? Well, Peter could have done that. Simon could have done that. As he was meant, he could mend the nets. He could sit there. It wasn't going to require a whole lot of him to push the boat out just a little bit there and for Jesus to use it. Now, you have to keep this in mind. This wasn't the first time that Jesus had come in contact with Simon Peter. You back up just to the previous chapter. Jesus had already healed Simon's mother-in-law. That happens in chapter number 4. Those had already occurred. So there already was context of Christ and Simon having a connection together. And what we have here is Simon willingly agrees when he hears what Jesus asks and he says yes to it. Because it wasn't that complicated. Amen. That's good singing. That's good preaching. It's not that complicated, really. To come and sit. Oh man, these are comfy. Oh, it's like super comfy, okay? It's not that complicated to come and sit in a pew and hear some preaching and listen to some good singing, right? Sometimes it's a little more difficult for us to maybe pick our Bible up at home and read it a little bit, but that's even not that complicated. We can go on Facebook, we can go on ESPN online and read about whatever our favorite team is and all of that. And it's similar to that we are able to then pick up our Bible, or man, you can even use an app on your phone and read your Bible. That's not that complicated. So it doesn't require a whole lot of us. So let's don't get too upset at Simon. At least he said yes to something that didn't require a whole lot. Okay? I'm Chuck Patterson. You look like a Chuck. Okay. I'm Chuck Patterson. Ask what your name is. You know, invite him to church. If you're free this coming Sunday, I'd love to invite you. We're having Father's Day gathering, and there's going to be a good number of people there, and we're even going to have a brown bag lunch afterward. Love to see you. Well, I got to go, Okay, fine. Wonderful. It'd be great to see you stop by. The address and everything you need to know about is right there. Even just a quick handing off, even if you don't even have the opportunity to say much, right. It doesn't require a whole lot. Amen. Right? Yeah. Okay. So, and you can keep that, just in case you weren't sure of any details right there for you, okay? So, what we have is just a small amount of obedience that Simon included because he was asked, but it started with he listened to what Jesus had said initially, and then he actually said yes to that small little bit. Pause with me here just a minute. If we won't say yes in those small little bits, why should we then be praying, God, do you want to use my life in the long run, maybe on the mission field, or use my life as a preacher or in the ministry, or I want you to do something great with my family, if we won't even take care of the small little things? Simon at least said yes in something minor. What we have here is, as it continues on, the passage, notice with me, says, verse number 4, so Jesus, of course, teaches, and it says verse number 4, now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon. Now think about it. Who was he speaking to initially? He was speaking to all the group that was there. Okay? So, Chuck, I'm sorry, I'm going to use you right up here, okay? So, if I'm talking to all of you, and you're all listening, and it says, and he said to Simon, so let's just put in there, and he said to Chuck. Okay? So, if he's talking to everybody, and if I was to say something to Chuck, would it be strange for me to do something like this as I'm talking to everybody? Hey, Chuck, do you think that we should go down to the Walmart? That's not how you normally would do it, right? So I'm talking to everybody and I say, Chuck, do you think we should go to the Walmart? Right? Is that not how it would happen? Well, that's how Jesus dealt with Simon. He was talking to everybody and then he hones in and he says specifically to Simon in verse number 4 after he has finished his teaching. And he says it this way. I want to make sure you get the proper reading of it. It says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or for a large catch of fish. So they're out in the boat just a little bit. He's been speaking. There's been some obedience, some yes that has already been said. And then he stops speaking to the multitude. He looks to Simon and says, launch out into the deep and let's do a little fishing. Let's bring in some fish. Specifically to him. Now, Simon is faced with an opportunity. He has the opportunity to either say, well, we've tried all night. Oh, wait, that's exactly what he does say. He has the opportunity to say, I've been fishing this area for a long period of time. I know when you catch fish. You don't catch them early at this time when it's starting to get hot in the morning. You go through the night. We didn't catch anything. It hasn't been a time to catch fish. he had that opportunity. And that's actually where he starts. He starts in that direction, referring back to what is taking place. And so what we have is Jesus asking him something that requires a little bit more of him. He's going to have to push the... he's been mending the nets. He's going to have to put the nets back in the boat and then push the boat out and then start paddling and get the boat out into a deep area and then take those same nets that he had just mended because they've been torn up. He's going to have to throw them over again and, he's tired. All of that taking place. His little obedience couldn't answer for this time frame that was going to require a significant amount of additional effort on his part. So he starts the answer. He starts the initial response. And he says, Master. So he's respectful. He has been around Christ before and he respects him. He respects what he has to say. He says, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. There's much in those two little phrases. What he's saying is, I am tired. I am worn out. We have worked and we have worked and we have worked and we have worked. We haven't caught anything, but we've continued to work. And we... That's how I almost see the passage of Scripture. We've toiled all night and have taken nothing. And then he's wanting to say all of his reasons why it's not right for him to go on out and continue fishing. But instead, nevertheless, at thy word, we will let down the nets. That nevertheless right there is not, it's not a big giant leap of faith that he does. It's a, okay, we'll see if this will work. You know, the Bible does not require us to be able to take big old leaping steps of faith. It requires us, I think one of the testimonies mentioned about obeying God in the next thing that He has instructed us in. We often don't see the whole picture. Simon couldn't see the whole picture. He couldn't see the catch of fish that was going to take place. But Jesus said, let's go out, let down the net for a draught. Jesus was not saying, let's go out and spend a little bit of time fishing and talking. No, he said, here's what we're doing. We're going out and we're catching fish. And Simon's first response was, I've already tried that. I've already done that. Nevertheless, that one little word changes the whole meaning of what takes place afterwards. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the nets. In other words, I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. But because I've been around a little bit of the guy who's asking me this. I don't know a whole lot about it. If you know a little bit more about Peter, he has to grow a whole lot more before God uses him greatly on the day of Pentecost. He was Mr. Take his foot, stick it in his mouth, take the other foot, twist it up there and stick it in his mouth, make almost a fool of himself on a regular basis because he was so impulsive about some things. But right here, he had a little bit of obedience and a little bit of, I don't understand, I'm not going to have a whole bunch of faith here, but I'll just listen to what you said and we'll see if we can carry through on it. So they launch out into the deep, and we know the story from here that we read through. They launch out into the deep in order to be able to have this large amount of fish that come in. And as Jesus was telling him to do this, we could just imagine everything that was going through Simon's mind about the reasons not to do this. Are there any good cooks here that bring stuff occasionally, like desserts, when there's fellowship meetings and stuff like that, or fellowship gatherings after a service? Of course, right? One of my favorite pies is a sour cream blueberry pie. If you've never had that, you ought to try it, okay? But let's just imagine that you are the expert sour cream blueberry pie bringer. Okay, you always bring that, and people ask you to bring it. It's like every time you have a fellowship with food, somebody says, would you please bring that sour cream blueberry pie? And you always go home with an empty pan because people just love it. Ken, you kind of feel good about it, you know? You're pretty good at it. And so you bring your pie, and people are going to enjoy it. And that person, that it seems like every time there's, you know, bring the potluck and put it together, there's that person that they always bring those sugar cookies from Aldi. Okay? I mean, all these sugar cookies are good, But they're not homemade. They're not a sour cream blueberry pie, okay? But you bring that the sugar cookies from Aldi, and it's in the package, and somebody has to tear the package open and make those available. You know that it wasn't made at home and that kind of thing. And that person says, you know, your sour cream blueberry pie is pretty good. But you know the advice that I would give you to make that a whole lot better? What would you want to say? Just like, what do you know about making pies? You bring sugar cookies, and I know where you got them because I saw you were shopping for them, and you bought the last package that was right there that I was going to take home to my kids, and you brought it to the service. You don't know about making good pies. You know about packaged cookies from Aldi, okay? Simon was the expert.
Yeah.
He was a fisherman. How many times has it told us before this that Jesus goes fishing? Simon hadn't said, oh, I remember the times I went fishing with Jesus. No, that's not the way that the previous accounts go. Simon, he was the expert. Jesus wasn't. But Jesus said, let's go out into the deep and we're going to catch some fish. And Simon says, that's good. Simon says, I just got that. It took me a sec. So Simon, he says, we've toiled all night and have brought in nothing. Nevertheless, it's almost like he's saying, he knows a lot about, seems like everything. He might know a little bit about this part of my life too. Let's launch out into the deep, let down the net, catch some fish. So they do it. The nets are let down. The fish are not taking turns to get in the net. They're just piling in and piling in and piling in. Have you ever had a time where you caught two or three fish and you put them in the boat? What do the fish do when you put them in a boat? They lay there very nice. Right? No, you put two or three fish in there and what's happening? Imagine taking an entire net full of fish and pulling it in a boat. You have fish going everywhere, flying all over the place to the point to where the boat was completely over. I mean, you don't have any place to stand. The boat was so full, he calls for the other boat. He had to bring in some more fish there. I mean, he doesn't want to lose. Remember, this is the way he made a living. He didn't want to lose any fish. He wanted to make sure to bring them all in. And then he brings the other boat, and the boat starts to sink. And they go, whoa, this is hyper. Can you imagine if you were a fisherman, this would be the catch of your life. This would be the time of, whoa. This is my, oh, get them. I'm going to make so much money off this. We're going to sell these. Oh, man, we can get a new cart that we'll be able to use going to market. Our family can add on to the house. I mean, this is fantastic. He was excited about it. And then you see another pause take place. Notice in the passage back there with me. So there was a little bit of obedience, didn't require a whole lot. Then there was a greater step of obedience that changed his thinking in this little fraction of nevertheless, to where it adjusted the way he was looking at even just listening better to what the Lord had said. Then we see, it says in verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it. Pause. When Simon Peter saw it. Yes, he was excited. Yes, he was thrilled. Yes, he was trying to get all the fish in. But there's something that is there with that comma. When he saw it, notice the next phrase. And this is significant as the nevertheless. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. It's as though Peter's life had been adjusted in a fashion to where he recognized in Christ something greater than even when he had the nevertheless moment. He recognized this wasn't just a fishing trip. This was Jesus doing a work that nobody else can do. When he went back home, I imagine he could have told a fantastic fishing story. I mean, name one other person that got to enjoy that happening in their life. I mean, before he had told about the 10 fish that they caught, or the 20 fish that they caught, or the big one that they caught with a bunch of little small ones. This time he could go back and tell a story about all the fish that almost sank two boats. But Simon saw the change. The change was that it wasn't about what Simon could accomplish. It's what Jesus could accomplish, even in something that would be considered ordinary. Something that would be considered normal. His fish story changed into what Jesus, the Son of God, could do in Simon's story. In Simon's life. Today's Father's Day. Thank the Lord for fathers who care about their kids. That's not always the case. Thank the Lord for fathers who have a concern about taking care of the finances for their children. Thank the Lord for fathers who are willing to do that which is required, even in a fashion of sacrificing, so that their kids can be helped, be taken care of. And I know that those who take the opportunity to acknowledge and respect and honor their father don't even come close to showing the gratitude that should be shown for all that dads have done. But we have an opportunity to recognize whether you are a father of a child that still lives with you, or maybe you have grown children, you have an influence now upon your grandchildren, that there's more to just the life and just to our story. Simon moved to a place where he recognized it's not a fish story, it's not Simon's story, but what God can do in the normal parts of life to make changes in a person's life. And Simon recognized, I would not have this fish story to tell if it wasn't for God working. To the point to where he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me. I don't deserve this. I'm not worthy of this. That tremendous song that the choir sang to open the service about the worthiness of God and how great He is. Simon was recognizing that. We have an opportunity, thank the Lord, we have an opportunity to listen to what God has said to us and to take some steps of obedience. And sometimes they're little steps. But let me say this, I don't want to put anybody down because I've taken some little steps of obedience toward the Lord. Even though it might require just a little bit, at least you're taking some steps. Keep it up. But then at other times, we have an opportunity where we can listen to what the Lord has said and say yes. Say yes to Him. And it might give it, we might not understand all the details. Maybe God is working on your heart. I know there's some young people here that are praying about going to Bible college. Maybe God is working on your heart and you don't know how all the finances are going to work. You don't know how all the aspects of that are going to take place, how it's going to be living away from home. But you're listening to what the Lord would say. You're listening enough to where, Lord, I don't want to go through a church service without You speaking to my heart. I want to listen to what You had to say to me. Thank the Lord for that. Maybe you're an older person here and you've been serving the Lord for a long time. Let me just say it this way. Keep listening to Him. Don't grow out of that. Keep listening to what God has to say to you. Keep being close enough and doing the small things so that Jesus Christ can deal with your heart. Why? Because all of us need some of those fish stories that Peter had. All of us need a God story of what God is doing in our life. Here's the thing. He does know what's best for us. He does know how to guide us best. The lady sang a song about how He is best and His guidance is best. Peter at this point is like, oh, he had a long ways to go. I don't think he was even close to perfect at this point. But he had come to a place to where he recognized, even though I don't understand, nevertheless, I'm going to listen to Him. I'm going to follow what He wants me to do. And then to the point, whoa, I am so thankful I listened to Him. I'm so thankful I gave attention to what He said, and I followed through with it because there's no way I could go and tell this fish story. He got involved even in the normal parts of my life. So, there's a need, I'm guessing, various ways. Maybe there's some needs in Sunday school classes. Maybe there's some need in the choir. Maybe there's some need in helping out with the grounds. Praise the Lord for everybody that came out and helped with that yesterday. There's some needs around the church. You know this church has a purpose? Right there on the pulpit it says, preach the word. Heartland's theme is preach the word, reach the world. It's in partnership with local New Testament churches for the purpose of carrying out the Great Commission, training young people so that they can do the exact same thing that you're doing right here in Shawnee. The need of reaching people with the gospel. Maybe there's a need in an area that you say, I don't know a whole lot about dealing with kids and buses or Sunday school or working on the lawn or whatever, but I said there's a need and the Lord's impressed upon my heart to serve. Okay, show me how to do it. I'm willing to. That's an attitude. That's an attitude of nevertheless, though I don't understand it, I want to listen. Simon, let me draw it all together with this and we're done. Simon had that nevertheless moment. And it brought him to a place to where he recognized. See that last part? Verse number 10. We have James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Complete separate message in itself, right, in those next two verses. But what you have here, Jesus had said to him, let's launch the boat out into the deep, catch some fish. Now he's saying, Simon, you follow me and you'll catch some men. It will take place. You know, when we choose to walk with the Lord and actually say yes in the simple things, when we choose to have the opportunity, when the opportunities are there for obedience that might require a little bit more effort, we actually listen and say yes at those times also. It can move us in a direction to where God can use us to be a blessing to people that we may never have never had the opportunity to be a blessing to. Have an influence upon people and in a way upon people's lives that we would never have had the opportunity to have that influence. I mentioned my son has cerebral palsy. There are people that we've had the opportunity to have an influence upon because of my son's difficulties. Paraprofessionals in the school system, where their young people are now, many in one family I'm thinking of in particular, where five of the young people that were part of that family all accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior because the mom had worked with our son and she was just asking some questions. The Lord started working on our life and we had an opportunity to have an influence in her life to where then her kids accepted Christ as their Savior. That's five young people out of that one family that's on their way to heaven because of an opportunity where we could have said, this stinks. This is ridiculous. Why do I have to deal with this situation? And instead, God, help us to walk through this. Help us to deal with this in a right way. And as we progress through it, the Lord knows how to use things like that. Let me ask you, what is God speaking to your heart about? Seriously. We should not go through a church service without God speaking to our heart. One of the best ways to come to church is like this. What's he going to say to me? What's he going to say? Oh, yes. I'm not doing it completely right. I could be better in that area. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Listening and saying yes, even though we don't have all the answers. We don't know what's around the bend. But He does. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for how we can look to You. We can depend upon You. We can seek Your help. There's some young people here that I thank You for their attention. Thank You for how they seem to have eyes that were open to what You wanted to say to them. Help them to respond to You. There's some moms and some dads and some older folks, some grandpas and grandmas and individuals that are maybe in their senior years that gave the opportunity this morning to let You speak to their heart. I pray that in this invitation, whether it's there at their seat or coming to this altar, or somehow that they would not just slough it off, but they truly would seek to deal with You on how You spoke to their heart. Thank You that You still deal with hearts. Help us to listen. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand together, and I'm going to ask you to do this. Before you grab a hold of that pew, if God has spoken to your heart, use this altar. Use your seat. You can kneel down and pray. You can pray with somebody else. However God might direct, take this as your opportunity. The invitation's open. Are we going to sing a song, brother? What song number is that? 270. Let's sing Just As I Am. There it is right in front of you. Just As I Am. We have an opportunity to respond to the Lord. So it's not necessary for you to sing. If God has spoken to your heart, let's do business with God long before we even sing. Go ahead, brother.
matter, since Dad got saved, he did become truth throughout America, and then his son now pastor. Really, someone caring about something. Good news. God can take that. But we'll have brown bag today. We'll be back for early afternoon service at 1:30. Starting next Sunday, we're going to do that the rest of the summer because of gas prices the way they are. Trusty and myself, Matt, feel that we've got seven families drive 100 miles on Sunday coming to service, going back and so forth. So we're trying to make it a little more effective for everyone involved. So from now until the end of September, we'll have brown bag. You can get a lunch. We'll start the afternoon service at 1. Following that, then we'll have choir practice. And by the time we get ready to leave, except for VBS. VBS is coming. It'll be 7 o'clock 6 o'clock Sunday night, and Tuesday, Wednesday, it'll be 7 o'clock those nights also. That's in July, and we'll that 17. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be to say, Lord, we love you. Thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for bringing the group to be with us. And Lord, pray that you bless them. And thank you, dear God, for Father's Day. So thankful to have dads in life, and many dads already gone. I still think of them, my dad, had in my life. So thankful for it. Praise you. Thank you. Gave me the dad that you did. I just pray that I would continue to live for you and serve you. Thank you for this time together. Sisters are with us today. We ask all these things in your blessed holy name. Amen. God bless you.
One other thing. We have a young couple that's going to be celebrating an anniversary tomorrow.
Really?
If so.
I know.
I think it might be the Messinger. I think it's 42 years. Is that right? All right, let's sing happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you. Thank you.